Okay, buckle your seatbelts, everybody. Well, this obviously, I've chosen this title in salute to the famous Institute of Medicine report, Crossing the Quality Chasm, that focused our attention nationally on issues of quality of care and gaps in quality of care in the medical care system. We're beginning to learn more, as we just heard from the panelists today, more about the quality chasm that we face in public health. And one of the other vehicles that we have for making progress on a research front and learning about this issue is the Public Health Practice-Based Research Network. So I'm going to spend this little bit of time giving you a high-level sketch of this emerging line of research within the public health PBRNs and where it's going. The picture here, this is actually about an hour and a half southwest of us. This is the Royal Gorge. Beautiful chasm here in the Colorado Rockies, and it's particularly important to me, being from the University of Arkansas, in that this is the birthplace of the Arkansas River. And what you guys do up here in Colorado on this river and crossing this chasm has certainly downstream effects about 1,000 miles downstream to our drinking water and our agricultural production. So a great public health story. Nothing to disclose, but certainly want to acknowledge the work of the Robert Johnson Foundation in supporting the public health practice-based research program here. You can see the great staff that I work with, including Charlotte Smith, the brains behind the operation, who's here with me in the audience today, and our other colleagues. And we also benefit from a wonderful national advisory committee, many of whom are here at the meetings this week, and some of whom are in the audience as well. So we couldn't do this work without you. Again, the rationale for studying quality in public health practice. Many of us know this other Institute of Medicine report about 7 years that called attention to the lack of evidence that we have about how best to organize and finance and deliver public health services, and the need for us to begin to build that evidence. We also know that we do have gaps in quality of public health practice. We have gaps between what we know works in public health and what we actually do in everyday public health practice. And these might be what we call missed opportunities for delivering effective public health services, or the winnable battles that our CDC director has called our attention to. Many effective evidence-based public health programs, services, strategies that reach less than half of the population at risk, and these are just a few of those missed opportunities and winnable battles. We also know we see widespread variation across communities and states in the practice of public health. And certainly some of that variation is absolutely appropriate and warranted, but other components of that variation may be inequitable, may be wasteful in terms of inefficiency, and may actually be harmful in terms of, again, missed opportunities for improving population health. And work that we've done looking at spending variation, more than a third of the variation that we see in per capita public health spending across the country, we can't explain by any observable characteristics to the public health system or the population it serves, perhaps representing, again, opportunities for crossing that quality chasm, figuring out how to improve delivery of services. The work that we're really about in the public health practice-based research networks are about practice-based public health, studies that are conducted in real-world public health settings, studies designed to inform the real-world information needs of public health administrators and policymakers, studies that focus on innovations in practice, so that if we're undertaking an innovation, a novel way of delivering services, we have an obligation to study that for effectiveness. And then using the data that we're generating through the practice of public health to then build this research and evidence base. This work is also certainly policy relevant, and there's a component in the health reform law that passed earlier this year devoted to strengthening this kind of evidence base, supporting this kind of practice-based research on quality in public health practice, termed optimizing research on optimizing the delivery of public health services. That certainly incorporates quality of practice. Well, a quick thumbnail sketch about public health PBRNs. I'm not going to have time to go into great detail, but I'll be here after the session to tell you more specifics about public health PBRNs, what they are. These are networks of practicing public health agencies, state and local public health agencies, that come together in partnership with a research institution to build capacity and ongoing infrastructure for conducting research on the practice of public health in these real-world settings. It involves strong collaborations between practitioners and researchers at all phases of the research process, from identifying the questions to putting together the design, methodology, measures, data, analysis, all the way through the translation of those findings back out into improvements in practice. We have 12 networks that are currently funded through the RWJ's public health PBRN programs. initial cohort of five that started up about a year and a half ago, back in December 2008. They're our most mature networks. A second cohort of seven networks that started up just earlier this year, back in January, have been up and running for 7 or 8 months now. And we also have a growing contingent of affiliate or emerging practice-based research networks, more than 10 now. These are networks that were not formally funded through the Robert Wood Johnson Financing Program, but nevertheless have organized, joined, and collaborate with us in because of their passion and interest in conducting practice-based research in applied public health settings. These are some of the questions that we're beginning to pursue through the work of the public health PBRNs. This is again, understanding what quality in public health practice is and what the drivers and determinants of quality is, again, an emerging and growing line of research within the PBRNs, starting with just understanding how to define and measure quality in public health settings, then beginning to understand some of the factors that influence quality in public health settings, including the micro-level factors that have to do with quality improvement and interventions, but also the macro level factors in terms of policy and organization and community context that drive quality. Understanding the consequences of variations in quality as well, the health as well as the economic outcomes associated with variation in quality, so that we can be more informed and more targeted in how to design quality improvement interventions and policies and organizational strategies designed to improve quality. So when we began this line of research with our colleagues in the networks, we first needed to develop an operational definition of what quality in the context of public health practice really is. And we started going back to that IOM quality chasm report and looked at their definition of quality and decided this definition actually fits the public health practice world fairly well. This was crafted in a fairly broad framework. The degree to which services for individuals and populations, and population is really our focus in public health, increase the likelihood of desired health outcomes and are consistent with current professional knowledge. So we're looking at strategies and activities that lead us toward improved outcomes that also are consistent with our best professional knowledge, and recognizing that there may be structural aspects of quality, process-related aspects of quality, which is the major focus behind quality improvement types of interventions, as well as outcome-related indicators of quality as well, consistent with Donna Beedien's famous framework for quality. As we then began to develop and articulate and begin to define dimensions of quality that would have utility for studying these issues in public health practice and for crafting measures of public health practice, we again looked back to the work that has been done in the field of measuring quality in medical care practice. And started with the Institute of Medicine's six aims of quality, which are, one of the more frequent frameworks used for measuring quality of health of medical care, and have adapted those to greater or lesser degrees to fit the issues that we're dealing with in public health practice. And so one dimension we have begun to look at is this concept of appropriateness. Is what we actually do in public health practice in concordance with the community's documented health needs and risks in the population, or what we are doing, to what extent is that consistent with the documented needs and risks in the communities? A second domain related to reach: are we actually reaching the populations at risk with the services and activities and policies that are designed to address those risks? A third related to effectiveness or fidelity, which again relates to squarely to this issue of are we actually doing what we know works in public health? To what extent are we delivering activities that are consistent with available scientific knowledge and professional standards? Are we adhering to evidence-based guidelines where they exist in public health practice? A fourth related to timeliness, which is perhaps a dimension that's especially important in the world of public health practice, especially with regard to issues of addressing communicable disease and emerging health threats from a preparedness standpoint. Are we delivering these activities at the right time so as to maximize health protection and minimize risk of disease transmission and injury? A fifth domain related to efficiency, very important element as well. To what extent are we delivering services in ways that optimize use of our financial and human resources? A sixth dimension related to equity. We certainly know that the enormous problems that we have with disparities in healthcare delivery. We know very little right now from an evidence-based standpoint about what the disparities look like in terms of our delivery of public health services. and activities. To what extent are there disparities in the reach of our public health strategies to across different subgroups within our population? Are there disparities in effectiveness or timeliness of our public health practices? So equity, an important domain. And then finally, this domain related to community centeredness or engagement. This is kind of an adaptation of the IOM's dimension of patient centeredness as it applies to medical care delivery. To what extent are we engaging relevant stakeholders in the community in the design, implementation, and evaluation of public health strategies? And to what extent are we appropriately tailoring our public health strategies to at-risk population groups based on their values and preferences and needs and knowledge and resources? So seven dimensions of quality in public health practice, based on adaptations of similar frameworks that we use in healthcare delivery. So what are we doing within the public health PBRN program to now to actualize this program of research looking at quality issues in public health practice? We have, as part of the work of the PBRNs, an initiative called the Research Implementation Awards, and all of our funded PBRNs become eligible for these awards in their second year of their development. These awards provide funding of about $150,000 per network to support a study for a year and a half to 2 years, focusing in on these issues of quality. Our round one networks that were funded in February of this year, just early this year, with these projects, all looking at different elements of adoption of evidence-based practices in public health, focusing in on that element of effectiveness or fidelity to evidence-based practices in public health. Our round two networks have just finished submitting their proposals for research implementation awards just in the last several weeks. And these round two projects are focused tightly on issues of measurement of quality in public health practice. Projects designed to actually help us develop and test valid measures of quality, then use those measures and analyses to understand variation in quality and strategies for closing those gaps. Just briefly, a few examples of some of the studies being supported and being conducted right now through our public health PBRNs. Again, I don't have time to go into great detail, but I am going to be here after the session. I'll be glad to talk with you in more detail. This is the RIA project underway right here in the state of Colorado, in the Colorado's PBRN, focusing in on obesity prevention practices being implemented through an innovative initiative here in Colorado known as the Live Well Colorado Initiative. This initiative is funding local coalitions to implement strategies designed to produce policy and environmental changes that will support promote healthy eating and active living strategies designed to help reduce the obesity epidemic. Even though this is the thinnest state in the U.S., they have a rapidly growing obesity epidemic and recognize the role of the public health system in beginning to close that gap. So as part of this study, the Colorado PBRN is looking at factors such as the availability and use of local data on the obesity epidemic and on strategies for closing that epidemic to mobilize adoption of evidence-based practices. They're actually using a very formal method of measuring adoption of evidence-based obesity prevention practices using the REAIM framework that's commonly used. It's increasingly used in public health research these days. Also using some elements of network analysis to understand how the structure of the public health system facilitates or impedes these community coalitions in making progress with adopting and implementing evidence-based obesity prevention strategies across the state. Using an observational design, capitalizing on variation across communities in their success with adoption and implementation of evidence-based strategies. Moving across the country to our PBRN up in Massachusetts, their focus is on communicable disease protection strategies and looking at factors associated with adoption and implementation of evidence-based strategies for both food safety and infectious disease investigation and prevention. Using, again, another observational study looking across all 350-plus municipalities in Massachusetts that have public health statutory authorities, again, looking at factors associated with adherence to evidence-based or consensus professional guidelines around food safety and infectious disease investigation, looking at the role of staffing and funding and again, partnerships and network structures in facilitating or impeding that adoption. And then finally, another quick snapshot, the great work that's happening in our Kentucky PBRN. This is more of a classic study looking at quality improvement strategy being implemented across local health departments in Kentucky and local diabetes centers of excellence across Kentucky, and using QI strategies to facilitate the adoption and implementation of evidence-based self-management strategies for diabetes. Really a, more of a small-scale QI kind of study focusing in on a small number of communities, six health departments, looking at factors associated with adherence to evidence-based practices for diabetes prevention and control, again using REAIM and some other similar measures of adoption and implementation. So I know that's a very quick tour of just some of the work that's happening around quality measurement and quality research in the public health PBRNs. As we begin to make progress with this type of research, we're recognizing this kind of research can only happen with active collaboration between practitioners who have that on-the-ground knowledge of public health delivery and researchers who know how to build research designs around the innovations happening in quality and quality improvement. We're starting to begin to see these projects bear fruit, and we think this is going to be another powerful mechanism for generating more information to improve public health decision-making, both at practitioner and policy levels. Again, I'll be glad to take more questions after the session. I do also want to briefly mention that we're actively looking for research ideas for additional kinds of studies we can begin to implement around quality measurement and quality improvement through the PBRN. So if you have ideas, please let us know. Send them to our email address here. You can also send them to the Robert Johnson Foundation's blog website. They're actually blogging, our RWJ leaders at this meeting are blogging about the meeting. They'd love to hear from you about your ideas about new research around quality that could be organized through the PBRNs. Thank you.
Questions for Glenn? Please.
The whole issue of research designs in real world settings, you know, it's a really tough battle, and that was a bigger issue of how we deal with culture, you know, culture shifts. It's focused on a different kind of research design. It's focused on internal validity and RCTs, and that's not possible in this area, not possible in a multi-level technological frameworks, and yet that's what we all do, and that's what most of us are here for. So can you comment on how you can change the culture around that to get more funding from challenger?
Excellent point. And again, you know, in any kind of research design, there's that trade-off between internal validity and external validity. And I think especially those of us who are wanting to see research actually have a health impact, we've got to put more weight on external validity and understanding, building research designs in real-world practice settings, even if it comes at the price of having, you know, some additional risk of bias in our research designs. As to quote the famous health economist Michael Grossman, I'd rather have a biased estimate of an important parameter than an unbiased estimate of a non-important parameter. And that's really what we're at in the world of practice-based research in public health in the PBRNs, trying to learn something about the real world of practice, even if we you know, we have to deal with noisy measures and perhaps even some bias in estimating the effects of these kind of strategies. So, I do. If you look at things like the NIH's increasing investment in translational research and the, you know, the nation's attention around this field of relabeled field of comparative effectiveness research, it recognizes we can't just rely on randomized controlled trials and kind of controlled studies that factor out context from the investigation. If we really want to learn about what works in real-world settings, we want to realize the returns from our investments in research and the scientific process, we've got to consider a wider array of research designs, including you know, the kinds of practice-based studies that we're about here. So I think we're making progress, certainly still have you know, more to do, but the kind of proof of concept we can provide through this kind of work, I think, is very powerful.
Other questions?
Moderator's discretion.
Yeah. Any other questions for Glenn or the panelists? Well, this has been four very outstanding presentations, and please join me in thanking our panelists. Thank you very much.